It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Monday, June 9th. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for Ben Johnson. The Electronic Entertainment Expo kicks off tomorrow. That's a trade show for the gaming industry. And this year, there's a lot of pressure on giants like Sony and Microsoft, says Ben Howard, Vice President of Content at GameSpot.
This year is all about the games. You know, software is still what really sells consoles. So what we're expecting is both Microsoft and Sony to really lay out what they've got in store over the next year, 18 months. Because this upcoming holiday season in particular is incredibly important.
Howard says Microsoft and Sony are counting on their lineup of games to hook consumers into spending hundreds of dollars on game consoles and signing up for their subscription services. In the world of gaming, it seems like the technology advances really fast. But technological advancement can sometimes be really slow. Barriers can come up that you wouldn't expect. Research by economists at Columbia and Lahore is shedding some light on the subject by studying the soccer ball. Marketplace's Sabri Benishour has the story.
This is the sound of soccer balls being made by a guy named Mohammed Irfanana in Sialkot, Pakistan.
My primary job is to cut hexagon and pentagon pieces.
About 40% of the world's soccer balls are made there, and a bunch of economists thought it would be a great test tube for studying how innovation spreads.
So we went to Sialkot.
Eric Verhoogen is a professor at Columbia's School of International and Public Affairs. He introduced a really cheap technological innovation. It was basically just a tool to cut shapes from the fake leather in a less wasteful way.
And so we're talking about something like 12% increase in profits from adopting this.
He got the idea watching YouTube videos of Chinese factories who compete with Pakistani factories.
Industrialized espionage via YouTube.
Anyway, he gave it to a bunch of factories and waited to see how fast this great new innovation spread.
After about 15 months, we had six firms out of 135 in town that were using our technology, which seems slow.
Why would a factory just leave cheap, money-saving technology on the table?
I told the owner that it's not going to work.
Workers didn't like it.
For us cutters, this means lower daily wages.
They get paid by the piece. So initially, as they learned the new equipment, they'd be slower and make less. The workers' interests and the factories weren't in sync.
You always have to share with the workers.
Hal Serkin is a senior partner at Boston Consulting Group.
It can be a small amount, but they need to benefit as well. Otherwise, you'll have even more resistance to the change and it won't work.
When workers were given bonuses to learn the new technology, a lot more factories adopted it. This isn't just a problem for factories or for developing countries. Robert Gibbons teaches at MIT's Sloan School.
Some conflict of interest is a conspicuous and ongoing feature of essentially all organizations.
Senior employees might block a new software because younger workers would be better at it. Bankers paid by the loan might take more risks than their managers prefer. And not all conflicts of interest can be resolved with a simple bonus. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour for Marketplace.
Marketplace Tech is listener-supported, and twice a year, we invite you to make a gift to support the tech and business reporting you've come to rely on. A gift from you in any amount helps fuel a daily dose of tech news from Marketplace. Help us end the budget year strong by making a gift at marketplace.org by June 30th.
Neil deGrasse Tyson's much-talked-about TV series Cosmos just wrapped up yesterday. The show got a lot of people talking about space and science. Now, the worlds of science and technology have a lot in common, but they are not the same. Ariel Waldman joins me now. She's the founder of spacehack.org. She's here to talk with me about how science is being influenced by tech and so-called citizen science. Hi, Ariel.
Hi.
So what is citizen science?
The idea of citizen science, or indie science as it's sometimes called, is people without formal science backgrounds being able to actively contribute to science and scientific discovery.
Well, here's my question, because obviously there's a huge tradition of citizen science, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Edison, but it seems like now the barrier to entry is really high because science has gotten so advanced and a lot of the tools are so expensive. I mean, is it harder to do citizen science than it used to be?
I think it's actually arguably easier because we have such a multitude of data coming in from spacecrafts and from underwater robots, and all different areas of science are being inundated with so much data that we really need to have more people involved.
Can you walk us through an experiment?
There are things like Science Hack Day, which is an event I help run around the world, one of my favorite stories is someone who wanted to play around with the idea of creating a beard detector, essentially a device that would detect when he needed to shave. But what was really interesting is sitting in the audience and seeing this beard detector demoed was a particle physicist. And when the particle physicist saw this, he said to himself, wow, that's actually a genius way for how to detect cosmic rays in a cloud chamber. And to me, that's really what I love so much about indie science and citizen science is it's not only really applying yourself to existing structures that are out there, but also just experimenting and playing and having collisions with people from different industries to create amazing things.
What do you see as the role of tech in science right now?
There's a lot of focus on getting people in science to use tools like GitHub and other common sort of tools for making data and code open source. And I think the importance of that is that tech has really rocketed ahead in terms of doing open collaboration, and science is trying to catch up at the moment. And I think we're just in the beginning of starting to see more tech-like practices being adopted in the science industry.
Ariel Waldman is the founder of spacehack.org and a fellow at the Institute for the Future. She's also the global director for Science Hack Day. Ariel, thank you.
Thank you.
If you're a citizen scientist, we would love to hear from you. Email us about your experiments, letters@marketplace.org. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.